Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty today of homicide and other charges in a deeply divisive case out of Kenosha, Wisconsin, that created a national debate over vigilantism, gun rights, and the meaning of self-defense. Rittenhouse shot and killed two men and seriously wounded another amid protests and rioting over the police shooting of a black man, Jacob Blake, who is now paralyzed from the waist down. Attorney Mark Richards defended Rittenhouse in court. He says it was a cut and dry self-defense case.
I don't know that there's any broader implications. I don't want to make it bigger than it is.
Thomas Binger, the lead prosecutor, says in response to the verdict, while we are disappointed with the verdict, it must be respected. He's also asking the people of Kenosha to be peaceful tonight. The two men shot dead by Rittenhouse, Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber, had criminal histories, but those were not discussed with the jury during the trial. They were later brought up in comments by Rittenhouse's defense attorney, the man we just heard from, Mark Richards. We talk about the verdicts tonight with CBS News legal analyst Jessica Levinson of Loyola Law School in Los Angeles.
My overall impression is that we've just asked too much of this case, and no one criminal case can bear this weight and should have to stand for this much. The criminal process is not designed to fix all of the ills of our society, and it's not designed to fix all of the reasons why we're understandably watching this trial. So I think what the jury did in this case is they looked at the facts, they looked at the law of self-defense in Wisconsin, and they found that Rittenhouse's actions in those specific moments were reasonable. It doesn't mean that they like Rittenhouse. It doesn't mean they like what he did. It means that this is actually a very narrow decision, because most criminal cases are. Unfortunately, because we have so many societal ills, we're asking just more of this case than we can, and we're reading it more broadly than we should.
Let me play a cut here from the defense attorney.
Yes. It was a case about self-defense, the right to protect oneself from, you know, Mr. Rosenbaum. Don't want to speak ill of the dead, but he wasn't a nice person, and everybody knows why. And a lot of that didn't come in front of the jury.
What do you read into that?
I wish that the defense attorney had not decided to talk about Mr. Rosenbaum and his past struggles and allude to his past conviction. I think this case, as the judge decided, because he excluded that evidence about both Rosenbaum and Huber, this should be a case about what happened in those moments when Kyle Rittenhouse used deadly force. And I know that a lot has been made of Judge Schrader and things that he did in the courtroom and evidence that he excluded, and people felt he should not have excluded, for instance, a picture of Rittenhouse with the Proud Boys. It is important for people to remember he also excluded evidence about Rosenbaum and Huber, which could have prejudiced the jury against them. And I wish the defense attorney hadn't mentioned that, because there's a reason the judge said that didn't need to be part of the case.
I wonder, as long as we're on the subject of this judge, I'm trying to find the most diplomatic and yet accurate words to describe him. He's mercurial. He happens to be elected to that office, by the way, and that's a whole other issue as to whether judges should be elected. But overall, do you think this judge, as eccentric as he may have been, was fair?
I think the judge made some missteps, and I think that a lot of our perceptions, particularly on social media, about the judge come from the fact that we typically don't watch criminal proceedings, that we just don't see that there are a lot of judges throughout the country who are quirky, weird, eccentric, and at times make, let's be honest, kind of indefensible jokes. He made this weird offhand comment about having an Asian lunch and he hoped that it wasn't coming from Long Beach. But if you look at the rulings that the judge made, I think it'd be hard-pressed for us to say in context, given the law, that he undermined the fairness of the trial. There were certainly things that he did, which I think we could have said, I wish he hadn't done that. But we have to look at the decisions he made that affected the jurors. And if you looked at what a lot of people say who know Wisconsin law well, who know this law of self-defense, they're not surprised about the verdict today.
I wonder if somebody driving with us tonight, listening to our conversation, still has this question, Jessica. Why is it okay for a kid who's not old enough to drink, old enough to vote, to grab this powerful weapon and head into this volatile situation and not pay any societal consequence?
It's such a good question. And the answer is that a criminal trial like this one doesn't ask if all of the actions leading up to this tragedy were okay. They don't ask whether or not what Rittenhouse House did is laudable. They don't ask if he is a good person or a bad person. What we ask is, given the circumstances, even circumstances that he, let's be honest, set in motion, given the circumstances when he did use deadly force, does that fall within Wisconsin's self-defense law? The jury found that it did. I do not think that's an irrational conclusion. It does not mean, nor should it mean, that we want other people to behave the way Kyle Rittenhouse did. I don't think any of us want him to.
Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson on Skype. You can read all about the verdicts today in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial at WTOP.com.